Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Mover podcast series. Here you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself. With us here today, Eric Gilliland. Eric is the director of the Washington Area Bicyclists Association, otherwise known aka as WABA. How are you doing today, Eric?
I'm doing great, Martin. How are you?
All right. I guess what needs to be known is, did you ride your bike to work today, guy?
Actually I did. It was I woke up and it was pretty terrible weather out, but I sucked it up and got on the bike.
Do you have any other way? Are you car free?
I'm close enough to my office that I can I can walk it if I need to, but there's a bus that takes me there. Metro is an option as well, so bicycling obviously is a preferred option.
How long have you been car free, Eric? I'm assuming you're car free, is that correct?
Yeah, I've been car free since December 17th, 1970, which is when I was born. never owned a car.
Rock and roll. That's too excellent. And are you a fixer?
I'm sorry?
Do you ride a fixed?
I have fixed gears, also my preferred type of bike.
Uh-huh. How long have you been fixed?
I've been fixed since, 1999 probably.
19 when?
1999.
99, so about 5-6 years then, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Were you one of the first there in D.C.?
I was definitely one of the first. It seems like it's really exploding in popularity, though. There's plenty of people out riding now.
If you can at all get to the Bikescape.blogspot podcast that Jonathan Winston does out of San Francisco, he talks about, in one of his podcasts, he talks about the fixed-gear bicycle revolution there in the city and about how their challenge is the hills. You don't have many hills in D.C., do you?
No, we've got a few. I've got my bike geared enough that I can really take any hill. I don't know how they do the downhills on the fixed gears in San Francisco.
Oh, tell me about it. I was on a critical mass ride a couple of months ago, I think. Not the last one, but the one before. And they did a pretty steep downhill. And I was on my high wheel. That's a fixed gear on steroids, I guess you could say. And I'm coming down the hill. All of a sudden, it would have been fine if they hadn't formed like a blood clot at the bottom of the hill. Jeez, I thought I was going to, unless I bailed, I was going to crash into a whole bunch of people. So what I did was I just jumped off the bike and ran with it. I've never done that before. I was probably maybe going 15 miles an hour at that point.
Oh, wow.
Very interesting. Okay. Oh, yeah. I was able to keep the bike up. But, man, I don't like doing that too often. Too wild. What'd you do before you got involved with WABA, Eric?
Actually, before I got involved with WABA, I was a bicycle messenger here in D.C. I'd actually started riding as a messenger in probably 1994. So I had 5 years under my belt before I started working at the Bike Association.
So were you a messenger there in D.C. working for which service?
I did work for a few different services. The last was Quick Messenger. I spent about 3 years there. It was a great experience. It certainly got me the on-the-ground knowledge of the city and of bicycling in general in one way, shape, or form. But so I think it made the transition to the office job that much easier.
Wow. Well, have you worked as a messenger in any cities besides Washington, D.C.?
No, I've been here for about 12 years, and I've never done it in any other city.
Huh. Wow. You took over for Ellen Jones, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And is she still active with the organization?
She's actually, once she left the executive director job, she joined our board of directors, so she's still very much engaged in the organization.
Now, am I correct in assuming that, or not asserting, or at least thinking that Ellen pretty much was the big charge in getting WABA kind of into the form it is today?
I'd certainly say that we have such a long history with the association. We were established in 1972, so we're one of the oldest in the country. So it's been a succession of people that have really kept WABA growing and influential locally. But really, Ellen, she was the director for 11 years, and really as I mentioned, it's really WABA has such a long history, and so many amazing people have been involved in the organization over the years, and some of whom still are involved. It's really kind of incredible. But really, I think it was under Ellen's guidance and leadership that really changed WABA in a way that made it the force for positive change that we think it is today.
So how do you feel after all those years in the bicycle saddle doing a desk job? Is that hard for you?
Well, it was certainly hard initially. I eased my way into the job, and I got hired as a part-time data entry clerk right off the road. So I was still riding as a messenger a few days a week, and then working in the office a couple. So it eased the transition, but luckily it was just such a fantastic organization and such a great subject, and it was a topic that was near and dear to my heart. So it really made the transition that much easier.
Okay, since you've been the director since what? This is but your first year, first full year?
Second year.
Second year. Okay, you're great. And at what point did you start with data entry?
Oh, I started that in probably 1999, in August of 1999.
Okay.
I've been with the organization for a while now.
Great. All right. And it's just so our listeners can get some kind of feel for how big WABA is. How many full-time staff do you working there?
Right now, we're actually a full-time staff of three, but we have a position that's open that we're hiring for. So really, it's four people. When I took the director job, we were down to one. I was the only person in the office for about three months.
Wow.
So it's really we've been growing pretty rapidly over the last couple of years, and plan on even expanding further, possibly bringing on at least one, if not two more staff in 2006.
So what do you attribute that to, Eric, the growth?
Well, I think really the growth in the association is tied to the growth in the interest in bicycling, and especially in the D.C. area, it's increasingly seen as a legitimate form of transportation and recreation, and it really needs to be fostered and encouraged. And luckily, we have some leadership locally that's enlightened enough to dedicate to it. And I think a lot of that is due to the work of our association, but it's also due to the work of the national organizations like Hunter and the Bike League that keep us on people's radar screen to make sure that the money is there so transportation departments can actually use it for cycling.
How many members do you have in your organization there? Paying members.
Paying members?
Yeah.
We have about 7,000.
Wow. 7,000. Jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That's huge. And if you're at all like the SFBC, who we spoke with last Friday, are you, a lot of your efforts are over and beyond the five members of the paid staff, a lot of your efforts are volunteer effort. Is that correct?
Well, that's certainly true. That's really how WABA has survived and flourished over the years, through the work of the volunteers that we have. And, with the small staff, relatively small staff, we really rely upon the people who join the association to get a lot of the work done. And, we can write letters to the decision makers and try to influence policy in the direction that we want it to go, but it's really the people on the ground, the people that live in the various legislative districts and counties that write the letters that really makes the change happen. And we just see it as our position to get that information out in a timely manner and in a form that's digestible to most people and give them an easy way to respond.
Well, you're right there in the middle of the belly of the beast, if you will, the nerve center for the nation there in Washington D.C. Do you have an active dialogue with some of this country's leaders, like Oberstar or the LAB people, for example, or
We're certainly close with LAB. Their office is a couple blocks away, and
right.
you know, we try to help them out as often as possible, and they come and volunteer at our events, and so mm-hmm. I think there's a great relationship there between those two organizations.
Uh-huh.
I think we have some contact with the national leadership just based upon our geographic location. But what I think is really really important about WABA and about DC in general is that it's our job to make the city bike friendly and to encourage people who live here to ride. And it's those people that staff the congressional offices that are in there with the decision makers. So if we can raise their own awareness to bicycling just from their day-to-day lives, you know, whether they're going to the store or riding to the office, I think in that way we really help the national effort.
Huh. Well, yeah, something that's just a thought that's coming to my mind right now is when I came there on a bicycle, having ridden across country in 1979, you know, what, 9 years old at that point.
Wow.
Washington, D.C. was not a friendly place for bicycles. And, in fact, I had to stick my thumb out, hitch a ride to get over the beltway and into the inner sanctum of the D.C. Triangle there. What do you call the inner guts of D.C.? Is there a name for that?
Well, it's anything within the beltways.
Okay.
Downtown, D.C.,
okay.
Central Business District.
I just remember how tough it was to move around there, and I remember that I felt like a total second-class citizen because I was on a bicycle. And I've come back over the years, in recent years, for like some of the LAB puts on that big, I can't remember the name of it.
National Bike Summit, yeah.
Yeah, the summit, right, correct. Do you guys get involved in helping them with that at all?
We try to help them out. We always run the bike ride that's at the end of it, so that's really where our role is, and
okay.
We have a happy hour at the end of
right,
the summit
right.
as well. So.
Okay. Huh. So that's I think where I was going with that was just that when I've come to those events, it just seems like the whole landscape has changed. It's like a whole different world now in Washington D.C.
I think really. A lot of work has been done over the last 5 years. It's really, in D.C., it was Mayor Anthony Williams, who was a cyclist himself, who hired a transportation director that was a cyclist as well, and both of them saw the value in promoting bicycling and saw bicycling as integral to the future of transportation in D.C., and so really a lot of the change has been taking place in the last 5 or so years, and we're just very excited. We saw some really good numbers out of the census, which showed that between 1990 and 2000, the number of people who were commuting by bike in D.C. had increased by over 65%, which is huge.
Holy criminy.
And so I think that number is much greater now.
Wow.
Over the last 5 years. I just wish I had some firm numbers to prove it.
What you're sounding like a pretty educated guy there, Eric. What is your background?
I take it pretty well.
What's your background before you became a bike messenger? Are you a business major or something like that from college?
No, I went to Lehigh University. I studied international affairs and I minored in economics and history. But it's really that degree that brought me to D.C. in the first place. And you know, hoping to get a job in the field, but it just really didn't work out that way, but I think it worked out for the best.
Uh-huh. Lehigh University is where now?
Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania. Huh. And you probably, it's a private school, is it not a university?
It's a university, yeah.
And you probably had some pretty steep tuition there, is that not true?
It was a little on the steep side.
And were your parents ever wondering what the heck they spent some money, or unless you footed the bill?
Well, I think they were certainly wondering where their money went when I was riding a bike for a living. But,
right.
I think they're pretty happy with where I am now. And
great.
They're happy that I made it out of that job in one
piece. All right. In terms of coming back to WABA now, your organization, would you say the last 5 years, what would you say over the last five, maybe 10 if you can think that far back, have been the key accomplishments that WABA has accomplished in the way of making it easier to get around on a bike in your city there?
Well, I think certainly the work we've done on improving access to transit has been part of it. Initially there was no bike access on the metro rail at all, but over the years we started small with a pass requirement. You had to take a test and carry an ID, and we eventually got rid of that, and then ended up expanding the hours of access for cyclists. And more recently, we were successful in getting bike racks installed on the front of Metro Bus. So that was a big victory for ours, for the association.
How about on the ground?
Pardon me?
How about on the ground, the infrastructure?
On the ground,
stuff?
I think the best job we've done has been in education, in educating leaders and transportation departments and planning agencies on the benefits of bicycling. And I know that's not something tangible, but there are also trail developments that have taken place, maybe not within the last 10 years, but the Capitol Crescent Trail is certainly a tremendous asset.
Indeed, that's awesome. That's beautiful out there. Wow, totally beautiful. Now, in some of your early words, you said it was Anthony Williams. Anthony is still active with you, is he not?
He is, and unfortunately, he's not going to be running for re-election next year.
He's not? No.
I know. But he's fantastic. He comes to a lot of the things we do. He's always a fixture at Bike to Work Day, which happens in the spring, and
right.
When we were doing Bike DC, he would come out for that, and he used to just scare us to death because he'd ride around with no hands showing off, have us sitting there with our fingers crossed, hoping the mayor didn't take a dive.
Right. Okay, now you say Bike DC, you do that no longer, is that correct?
Well, we're actually taking a break on it this year.
Uh-huh.
We had a couple rough years with some terrible weather 2 years ago. The event was canceled. Last year was the threat of a hurricane that really killed the registrations. So we decided to take a year off. We've done some other events that were pretty successful, but we've had some recent conversations with the city who wants to bring it back, and so they look like they are going to come on board as a major sponsor for Bike DC in 2006, so we're really excited.
Great. So besides Bike DC and Bike to Work Day, what other events do you guys put on there in the nation's capital?
Well, we do a little of everything. We do an annual gala and auction, which is a black tie event in an embassy. Mm-hmm. It's really, really quite fun. Mm-hmm. This year we did a new ride called the Arlington Community Bike Ride, which was in partnership with Arlington County in Virginia. We did a ride with the American Lung Association called the Clean Air Ride. We did a Moonlight Madness ride. We do singles rides with the local paper here. Next weekend we have what we call the 58th Tour. We've done assorted other rides through the Anacostia area. So we really try to keep ourselves busy.
Sounds like it. I've got this image in my mind, Eric, of bike messengers, especially in particular in New York City and in San Francisco, back here where I live. And oftentimes they're pretty, raunchy is a pretty good word to describe them.
That's one way to do it, yeah.
Yeah, smoking the cigarettes and just really kind of hardcore hanging out, gussing it up and things like that. Were you one of those kinds of messengers? I know you got the college degree and you were doing that kind of work, but it seems like to do what you do right now, a lot of taming of the taming of Eric, it would seem.
Well, I don't think I'm a wild person by nature, and to be quite honest, I felt a little out of place with the messengers.
One
thing that we did have in common is that we all love riding bikes, and so that
right.
was enough at times.
Okay.
I'm not, like, covered with tattoos, piercings, and
right.
a mohawk, and I never had.
You escaped all that, huh?
Right.
Okay.
It just wasn't my scene to begin with, and so it wasn't my scene when I was a messenger. But it's like I said, it's the bond of the bike that really. So I fit in pretty well with that.
Great. So what are you guys working on right now? What's the big push at WABA right now?
Oh wow, it's really right now. It's a lot of internal focus for us. We were actually in the process of moving offices, and so that's taking place within the next couple weeks. We're revamping our computer system and the way we manage our member database, updating our website, possibly going through a makeover in terms of our logo and how we present ourselves to the public in that way. So that's really just the next few months, you know, probably 4 to 6 months are going to be a lot of internal focus, but I always try to keep our eyes on the advocacy. That's our bread and butter, and that's what we do well, and that's what people pay us to do. So really a lot of work on a trail project in D.C. called the Metropolitan Branch Trail. That's the big project of ours. We're also branching out a little bit into Fairfax County in Virginia, which is lags behind the rest of the region in promoting cycling, so they're really going to become more and more of a focus of our advocacy efforts
Great. What is your website exactly?
It's www.waba.org.
Great. Okay, excellent. Eric, one last question before I end all this stuff up. As an example, since 1972, you're kind of really much the standard bearer, I've got to think, in terms of how things should be done where advocacy is concerned. Do you find other bike clubs coming to you for guidance?
I certainly think so. We've been around for so long and such a long history and really exciting programs right now, and so we're more than willing to share that knowledge with others. So I think certainly we consider WABA to be a resource for other, you know, smaller organizations, but there are other groups out there that are just doing such fantastic work, and you know, all the big cities and organizations like Transportation Alternatives and Chicago Bike Federation, San Francisco, and on and on. There's really so many groups out there really holding down the fort for cycling in the region and really making progress.
Fantastic.
So, I think we just feel lucky.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go, but before we do that, any last thoughts that you'd like to kind of throw at us, or things I may not have covered?
I don't know. If it ain't fixed, it's broken. That's as far as I'm concerned.
If it ain't fixed, it's broken. You mean fixed gear?
Right, exactly.
Okay. That's kind of like a private joke, right? Inside
joke,
as the saying goes. All right, Eric, you're great. Well, thanks for the time you took with us today. It's been a major treat to kind of get an inside look at WABA, one of the nation's giants where bike advocacy is concerned. So without any other added greatness from you, I'm just going to say goodbye, guy. Have a great weekend.
Right. Oh, thanks a lot, Martin. We appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks, Eric. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
Bye. For more information about one of this nation's most influential bicycle organizations, WABA, as Eric has said, you can see them on the web at waba.org. Now that's waba.org. That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenways Mountain Mover podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more info about the NBG, go to nationalbicyclegreenway.com.